This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Mike is thinking about buying a home. Mike, we'll get into it in a second. You'll hear on Best Of that the house that you opted to not buy was too stinky. And we had stinky conversations, but let's have an actual home talk, a real home talk for a second.
Don't do it. There's your talk.
Don't do it. If you gotta, what percentage down are you looking to put?
A little over 20.
Whoa.
So we avoid that... What's it called?
Mortgage insurance.
Welcome to my world.
Hell yeah. That's what I'm doing right now. It's going to take me about 5 more years. I'm actually paying more towards principal, trying to knock it down, just to knock that PMI off. Put down as much as you can, dude.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, we're not in any rush. So it's like, we're just kind of looking for that perfect.
You got money saved up?
Yeah. Yeah. We got enough to put down something decent.
Look at you guys!
But again, I'm on a very cheap home. I mean, we're looking between $200 and $300. So
hey, it doesn't matter. Look, that's all you need, man.
There's such a thing as a starter home. This isn't going to be your forever home, but it'll be a nice place if you don't have mortgage insurance, you get it all paid off quickly, or even rent it down the line. It could be some nice, rental property. So maybe we'll catch up a little bit more about it this week. Stinky homes on Behind the Curtain. The actual are you thinking?
Yeah, he's been very private about this. Just kind of slips a few little things here and there. He was, I guess this one was pretty interesting tidbit, so he kind of floated out there. He goes, oh yeah, we were looking at houses over the weekend. And he said that they went up to, they went to one house. I guess met some of their requirements. It was in the right price range. Maybe had a little bit of a yard, but...
Let's take a look at the guest bedroom. Oops.
He said that the house reeked. Reeked to the point where...
sizzle of funk.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're quoted as saying the first couple of minutes you were just trying not to gag, dry heave and gag.
Yeah. Oh. It was... awful. As soon as we stepped foot in the door, it hit you like a ton of bricks.
Questions. Assume this house just smelled like a wintergreen lifesaver or a Yankee candle. Would it have been in the running to be a house you would have picked up?
Probably not. There's a whole lot of other issues. I mean, when you see a house has been on the market for 3 months, especially now when houses are just flying... I mean, a nice, decent house for a decent price is gone in a week now.
Now, what are we talking? Hot garbage, murdered family, next to a septic tank?
Well, it was a pet rescue thing, right? It was like feces and urine.
Well, as soon as we walk in, there were birds in there. I'm like, oh, God.
See, but the birds, hopefully that smell can be contained to the cage. Like, hopefully you remove the cage, maybe it doesn't smell.
Yeah,
but if you get, like, cats and dogs and the things that are peeing and pooping all over the place.
But have you ever walked into a house with birds and not smelled? There's always a little bit of an odor.
And was it hot, too? It was like the worst one. It's like hot and thick and stinky.
Sorry, the parakeet, Mr. Pumpkins, got IBS.
Well, it was Tuesday that we went there when it was raining. And
why don't you do this? Can you text us the address? And we can look it up or just bring it up on your computer?
I don't want to dime them out.
No, I won't say nothing. I just want to get eyes on it.
I still want to get up in
just
your ass about
put the address into the Google search bar.
Buying a house.
Remember it.
Yeah, don't buy a house, dude.
Yeah, let's go live to my
house
right now.
I'm not saying we're full court press for a house. But, if something pops up on our radar and it looks promising, we'll check it out. But, we're not, it's not like we, sold a house and are looking to move in the next month or anything. It's nothing like that. We're obviously renting right now.
Just putting your feelers out.
Yeah, just, if something pops up that looks kind of decent, we'll check it out. But we're not, like I said, hell bent on finding a house before the end of the year by any means.
I just saw, they have in the weekend newspaper, they have a real estate section, and it's very interesting. And they had a picture of a house in Ellicott City, Mike, and it's 4 acres, wooded acres.
Wow.
It's a beautiful, just refurbished house. It's about $800,000.
Oh, that's in your price range.
Jesus.
Mike, you're making that sort of scratch.
Oh, my God.
And listen, we know you don't make a ton of money. So we were talking, and Josh has agreed to help you with the down payment.
Email you.
Scott and I aren't doing jackass, but Josh will give you a big scoop of his gold.
So, yeah, we go in there. It smells terrible. And then, you know, a few minutes later, they mention that, oh, yeah, they like to rescue animals. They got a few dogs, a few cats.
Yeah.
And there's a wood floor. And I could tell by looking at the wood floor where, you know, the animals had peed.
Oh, yeah, dude. It gets the darker and stained.
And I'm thinking to myself, too, later about the smell. And I'm like, you know, we have dogs. People have animals. And it doesn't that doesn't mean your place is going to stink. These people must let these animals just go in the house. 100%. And then they must just leave it.
100%. Dude, the, okay.
We've seen hoarders before.
Let me get at you here. Let me holler at you if you hear me. I know you're allergic to my kindness and friendship, and you never want to come over to my house. But downstairs, when we were looking at the house, they wouldn't let us in this one room. Uh-huh. You've been
it's
in
where
there.
They kept the dog, probably.
Damn straight. The dog's... All right, that little mini SPCA that they had hidden in the basement. Oh, don't go in there. That's where the dogs are. And I thought two dogs. Turns out eight.
Oh, my God.
And the carpet reeked. After I bought the house, it was a one room I couldn't go
into.
First
thing you do, rip that out.
Gone. I
Hose
ripped
it down.
I tried to shampoo the carpet multiple times. Mm-mm. Never came out. I rip it up. When I ripped up that carpet, shout out to that flooring company that helped me. Asked me privately who it was. They pulled up that carpet and the mattress pad underneath of it.
Yeah, the foam.
God. The foam. Yes, the foam. Must have had 40 pea pancakes. From sea to shining sea, it was a muriel of dog urine. It was just a tapestry of whiz. And then we pull that thing up. The concrete and cement beneath it had been saturated in whiz for so long that I have to have them scrub and bleach the cement before putting on the new pad and the new wood floor. And to this day, I'm burning candles down there and opening the window in 50-degree weather. Oh, is that the floor?
Yeah, I pulled up a
I'm
picture
looking at
of the
house,
room.
Though. It looks... Oh, yeah, look at all those spots.
It appears charming.
Yeah,
What else could that be? It presents well in photos. It's a cute, like I could see you in this house. This is like a Mike Anderson house.
Well, the photography hit a lot.
Yeah, it always
it
does.
Hit a lot.
But I mean, it's
so
even,
good
just,
at doing that.
It's so cute and quaint, but it just reeks.
And again, once you smell it, it's just, you can't get that smell out of your head.
Oh, it's the worst.
And
here's the thing, we're talking about, we got Farfel in here, Spiegel's new dog. Shout out, Farfel.
Smells like cinnamon.
And basically, the three of us have been in the studio nonstop for the last 3 hours. So we can't smell anything, but everybody that goes in and out of this studio, they go, oh, it reeks in here. It reeks of dog and dog bone. And because we gave him a beef trachea and a bull penis.
What's that smell?
Chewing on him and he's been running around, but we can't smell it. So you wonder, these people must not be able to smell it. Look at the carpet in the master bedroom. Look at the carpet in the master bedroom. Look at the stains where, like, the tracks where people walk.
And you say this thing had been on the
market.
It had been on the market for quite some time, meaning you weren't the only person to ever walk through there.
No, everybody that walked in there has gone, ooh. Here, look at the photo right here. Look at the photo of the master bedroom. Look at the photo. What's the guy holding? You can see him in the mirror. In the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Oh, what am I looking at here?
Oh, yeah. He's holding the cat.
He's holding a damn cat.
Big mistake,
That thing is... Oh, man. Those wooden steps.
He didn't realize his reflection was in the mirror.
Oh, it's like the girl that takes a selfie in the bathroom and there's a huge log in the toilet. Still hot.
And the agent's like, you know, there's companies that'll come in and it can...
No.
I'm like...
I'm gonna shrink this. If you want to go to Livewire, I'm going to take it and I'm going to float it over. Look on Livewire at the discoloration in the carpet. I'm trying to hide the address so people can't see the address. Look at the discoloration on
that carpet.
Oh, you're
like a regular computer genius.
I hacked the system to show people that turd soup covered carpet. Rip the carpet
up. And you got to think, those people probably smell too. And they're walking around. They probably are.
It's clothes too.
He's the stinky guy at his job.
It's one of my biggest fears is having a cat house. It drives Buck nuts that I am downstairs cleaning that floor, replacing that filter. I buy a $50 HEPA filter every 4 months for the cat room. Plus, I have plug-in filters, and I have some of those Glade things just trying to suck the stench out of the air.
Ooh, look at that shed.
Oh,
should look
no.
in the shed?
No, I'm on my way.
Were you able to look in there?
At that point, I was just ready to go.
I mean, we looked for a house for a really long time. We found that we liked, and it still needs some work, but... nothing bad, but you know immediately, man, when you walk in, especially with that smell, if I walk in and I smell that, I turn and burn. And Chiquita's would sometimes be like, well, let's just keep going through. And I'm like, why?
Let's just see.
I don't want to go through the rest of this house.
Things
I know
can be cleaned.
Immediately, this is not the house for us.
No, it smells like somebody set fire to a port-a-john in here. I don't want to live here and have to spend all that time. Oh, yeah, that shed has had bone furniture made in it. Oh, someone met their end in that shed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The stinky lines now open. Mike is looking for houses. He's not telling anybody. Very secretive. Just the beginning stages, putting feelers out there. Went into a house and it stunk
badly enough that
he was almost like vomiting in his mouth.
Ugh.
It was just heavy in the air. Like as soon as you walked in it.
That's what I said. It's thick and hot and heavy. It's a heavy stench.
And it became clear.
Let me ask you this. When you walked in, did it almost feel like it physically hit you in the face?
Like you could feel it fill your lungs.
Yes.
When it's on your
teeth.
I've
been there, dude. I've been there.
If I can taste that.
It's
like
tangible.
Onions and ketchup.
Nine. And it was pretty clear that they were obviously letting all their pets just go in the house.
Oh, God.
We got a bunch of texts. One that says, get this. Mike, I almost want to go to this person's house. I have 7 dogs and 8 cats and a bunny. I have a hard time getting them to go outside, but we clean up the mess right away, and we have no smell or odor in the house.
Oh, I
bull
bet you
ass.
Oh, yeah, bull.
You're out of your mind. Your house reeks, and you just don't smell it because your nose button. What are the chances that house does not smell?
Oh, you think I'm walking into a Yankee Candle when I go through the front door? No.
7 dogs, 8 cats, and a bunny, and they have a hard time getting to go outside, but there's no smell in that house? But there's no smell?
0 chance. Unless the house is made of charcoal, there ain't no chance it doesn't smell like...
Wife and I looked at a house once. It was okay, not great. Didn't stink. I noticed that I kept itching and my wife kept itching. When we got outside, I reached out to my itchy leg and noticed black dots all over my socks. Oh. Looking closer, my socks were covered in fleas, maybe hundreds. My wife and I had to strip our shoes and socks off to get back in the car. We were infested.
Oh, God. Vaginal fleas. Crawls up your leg and into your unmentionables. You burn that house down. You Molotov cocktail that thing.
We looked at a house that reeked so bad of cigarettes that our realtor couldn't even walk in. The walls were yellow with smoke stains. My best friend growing up, R.I.P. Chris Perfita, they lived with his grandfather. His grandfather was an old World War II veteran that all he did was sit in this one chair, watch TV, and smoke cigarettes.
Hot box.
And above the chair, there was a brown circle above the chair. And the house got so bad that they got to the point where they had to paint the walls yellow because they were turning yellow.
Have you ever been into a house that really enjoys cooking some flavorful yet pungent ethnic food?
Oh, yeah.
There was a family down the hall from me when I lived in Rockville, shout out, and I don't know if they were grilling, fricasseeing, or broiling a goat each day, but much like when Mike knows exactly what the McCormick plant's firing up that day, I knew if they were having braised yak because it would float into my apartment. And I can't imagine when they left that lease, whoever else moved in there, that they just didn't have to rip the drywall out.
Got it.
Sheetrock's, it's porous.
My best friend growing up lived with 55 Pomeranians.
That's an animal hoarder.
Needless to say, he smelt like dog turds during middle school. Oh. Project manager for large home renovation companies. He says that 40% of the homes that he walks into have some sort of pungent odor, whether it's pets, mothballs, mold, or ass.
Ugh, let's go to the phones. We got some people that have been holding for a sec. And these people, they go smell blind to it. Jonah, Virginia, thank you for holding, man.
Hey, you're welcome. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my dad used to take me to work with him, and he worked for the Upper Occoquan Sewage Authority. And he got these big, huge concrete pools of, like, poo with catwalks across the top of them. And when you walk in that place, it's just god awful. It's like being in a hot port-a-john on a hot day, but times 10.
He's smell blind to it at that point. He doesn't know that he's just wandering into this waft of funk. He's completely cool with it.
Yeah, he's awesome with it. He doesn't smell it at all, but after I went with him a few times, I didn't smell it either. You know, at first it was good, but after that, I didn't smell it either.
Oh, man.
Did you see that commercial, I guess, like Febreze or something? Where like,
thank you,
you've gone nose blind to it.
Yes.
And I'm like, is that a real thing? And I guess it is a real thing that the people, you just go nose blind. You don't even smell your own house, your own stink.
Yeah, the scenarios in that commercial where they blindfold them like, all right, we've taken Denise and put her in a basement of a burnt down elementary school filled with 40 decomposing bodies. Let's see if she can tell where she is. I don't know. Am I inside of a like a candle store or like a Hallmark? And let's open it up and see what she sees. Oh, God, there's bodies everywhere.
Yeah, here it is. It says you go to Febreze.com and they got a whole section called Have You Gone Nose Blind? Vast majority of Americans are nose blind to the smells in their homes.
Yeah, I'll get
that. I wonder
that.
If Mike's apartment stinks.
Mike, do you think your apartment stinks, buddy?
I think
your apartment
stinks.
Or do the plants?
No, trust me, my girlfriend and I are always paranoid about that.
Yeah, but you might be nose blind to it.
Maybe, but we burn so many candles in that place that whatever smell might be there is probably eclipsed by that, hopefully.
You got that old carpet in there. You got that dog living in there. You got the other dog that comes over all the time.
Yeah, but even when we go like on a week vacation, like I'll make a point when we get home. I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk in here.
Fresh, right. You've been away for a
and
while.
And try to see if I detect anything. And I haven't, not to say that it doesn't, but I think we're all right.
Buck has the nose of
a wolf.
And when a cat
so does my wife.
Throws up downstairs, she can tell immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll hear the... But she knows, like, oh my God, I can smell it. Like, you could smell it one floor up.
Here's another article from New York Magazine. Why can't you smell your own home? This is a real thing.
That's going nose blind. People that work in and around smoky areas, like if you work on asphalt, like when you've ever been behind one of those asphalt trucks that's pouring the fresh stuff, you're like, oh, how could you be around that? How do you not have a respirator on? And they're just probably used to it. Let's go to Ted on line 4. Ted, good morning, bud. Teddy.
Hey.
Big Ted, what's up?
What's up, Ted?
Hey, so about maybe 5 years ago, my fiance and I were looking for an apartment by Taos University because that's where we were going to school. Anyway, we come across this apartment. Seems pretty good. It's about $500 a month right across the street, York Road. This woman owned a house where she renovated the basement into an apartment. Anyway, we walk in to check the place out, and the moment we walk in, we get smacked in the face with the smell of dog. It was so strong, so strong that you could taste it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I've had that.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for the call, bud.
One of my, yeah.
Wet canine.
Yes.
Wet canine and cat urine. There's nothing more acidic in the world than cat urine or the smell of wet, disappointed kid that screams out at 2 a.m. You're not my real dad.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Thursday, had the pleasure of getting to talk to Paul Tuttle Jr. from Orange County Choppers, American Choppers. Paul Jr. Designs, he's got a book, and he's got a new show, The Reviving American Chopper, next year. They're bringing it back. And as much as I love the show and I love the fabrication and even dabbled at one time taking motorcycle riding classes, the concept of riding a chopper, big, tall ape hangers, way lean back, 60s, 70s style, I feel like it would just be an impossible to steer a vehicle for my tiny little T-Rex arms.
Yeah, and you'll even, I mean, I don't, like motorcycle purists or whatever you want to call it, like those are like more like just...
That's a show bike.
They're like, yeah, they're not like bikes that you're riding around every day, all day. Those are like, yeah. I remember I was in, it was funny, right when Rick Ross was breaking, mm-hmm. He had his first album, Port of Miami, out.
The boss.
We were in Miami. It was Chiquita and I, and we were having... lunch right on the strip there, like right on the water, whatever the hell, Ocean Avenue, I think it's called or something. And I see this giant, and I didn't even really know who he was at this point, this giant motorcycle coming down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a parking spot on the other side of the street. And this guy had to do a 17-point turn just to turn, because the thing was so big.
It was
long.
So big and so long. Yeah,
he had
yeah.
to just turn. He was backing up and going forward, back it up, going forward. And he turned around and he parked it and he got off and it had a necklace on that said TS, which I think stands for Terror Squad, and it was freaking Rick Ross.
No way. Yeah. They want a big ass Rick Ross on a chopper?
Yeah, you ever see the motorcycle? You can find let me see if I can find it.
That's a large man. And this, I mean, is this Diet Rick Ross or this is
No, this was back in the day.
Damn it. Well, let me see a Rick Ross chopper.
A white motorcycle. Yeah, there it is.
There he is. Yeah, I'm looking right at it. Damn, there's the boss, Rick Ross.
Yeah, and the gas tank says Port of Miami on it, because when the album came out, he had that motorcycle.
There's a dude in my neighborhood, shout out to the Cape. You know what he's got? This, I need to know what the name of these are. You have the Ape Hanger handlebars, but the ones that are this close together,
yeah,
where your hands are like 3 inches apart, and they're this high, they're eye level high. And he drives it around my neighborhood, which is a bit windy, twisty, turny, and I'm thinking like, man, you're giving yourself too much work to do. And it's a beautiful bike, and he seems to handle it admirably. And one of the guys that got that chopper craze kicked off joined us on the program. Good dude to talk to. Looking forward to the return of American Choppers. Here's Paul Tuttle Jr. on Behind the Curtain. Good morning, Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on the flagship station of the Baltimore Ravens, 98 Rock. Joining us on the phone, he's got a book. It's called The Build, Designing My Life of Choppers, Family, and Faith. You remember him on the Discovery Channel's American Chopper from Orange County Choppers. Paul Tuttle Designs Jr. is joining us on the phone. What's up, Paul Tuttle Jr., my man?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm really appreciative. You sent us a couple of copies of the book, and I love you. I got to admit right off the bat, I was a huge fan of American Chopper, Orange County Choppers, your own particular company, Paul Jr. Designs. And I watched it all the way back when you guys were just starting out.
Oh, yeah.
With the ironworks, which I thought was so
wild.
Cool.
And it's so long ago now. It was like a little over 15 years ago.
It was just you and your dad, and like Vinny would start showing up, and you get a glimpse of Mikey before his hair was all crazy long, and he got into the psychedelic art, and it was just you and your dad in a garage building choppers with whatever you had around you. Was there ever a time when you guys were at your apex? You had this huge, big, beautiful building before, you know, everything kind of went to hell, that you were like, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I wish it was just us back in that garage again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting. It's just, you know, they basically just covered the course of our lives. And, you know, I don't know, you can look at different moments that were kind of huge. I'd say the first, you know, the show was such a phenomenon. It really took us, it caught us off guard. You have to remember, we were never aspired to be on television. We never looked for it. And so, you know, for it to come to us the way it did and be as successful as it was for the duration of time that it was, man, and we're just regular guys. It was, when I look back at it, I just shake my head. You know, it was that amazing.
Now, when you look back, Paul Tuttle Jr., is it more looking back with rose-colored glasses that it was great, or is there a lot of regret or a lot of bad times that you think about? I mean, it's tough, you know, being thrust into the spotlight and under the microscope and, you know, living your life and the dad thing and everything. It's like I got worried.
You got to remember, too, I grew up in the steel business, working really hard for very little money, working around the clock and really busting my butt. So that's my background. So I know what it is to work hard without a tremendous amount of reward. So on an overall, I go, oh my gosh, I get to do this. You know, yeah, there's been some bumps in the road. Me and my father had a falling out, but who gets their own television show and who gets to be able to have success at this level? And I still live in the same town I've been in my whole life, you know. So, you know, the overall is wow. And it took me like 2 years to really, the show was so all-consuming for 10 straight years. It literally took me 2 years to start to appreciate what it was, because you're so on, you know, you're so close to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just feel like overall, you know, it was an amazing ride. And what's even more exciting is we're getting back on that bus right now. We've been filming for a month and the new show's coming back, and in the midst of my new book launch, and it's amazing. The show is going to be, I think, as good if not better than the first time around, from the standpoint of it's all the same characters, but this is a different show. Still building bikes, still American Chopper, still on the Discovery Channel, but it's got a whole new flavor just by the nature of time.
Yeah.
Now let me ask, when these bikes are going to be built on the new show, because you and Senior did splinter off, he continued along with Orange County Choppers, you got into, you know, Paul Jr. Designs. Are these bikes going to be built under a unification, or is it going to be a Paul Jr. bike? Is it going to be an Orange County bike? What brand are these new bikes going to get built on?
So the show is split. I have my identity in my brand. My father has his own identity in his brand. We are sharing the show. But, you know, the difference really now is we're making an effort to have a relationship, and that's in the early processes. And we're actually covering it as it actually happens. So when the show starts airing, you're going to actually get kind of a real-time perspective of our dynamic, the effort we're making to try and make things better between us. And we're just walking down that road as we speak. So I am excited because we're getting some good crossover scenes with me and my father, where it's genuine and we're enjoying each other's company, but it's very early. It's very early in the game, and I'm really hoping it continues to develop for our relationship's sake, and really for my son's sake as well. You know, I want him to know his grandfather, yeah. And that's really important to me. And I had a great relationship with my grandparents growing up, and so I'm hoping that begins to develop as well.
Yeah, we're talking to Paul Tuttle Jr. You know him from American Chopper on Discovery. He's got a book out, Designing My Life of Choppers, Family, and Faith, The Build, and American Choppers is coming back. So what, OCC, I lived up in Albany for about 10 years, and you would go up and down 87, the New York State Thruway, and you could see the big building off to the left or right, depending on which direction you were going, and it was an empire. What became of the empire? What is the state of the OCC empire?
You know, you'd have to ask my father that. I really don't know. That's his bag, and you know, that's been a really good thing for us to have separate businesses, and I think that's going to make it a little bit easier moving forward in a relationship setting. I really don't know. Again, like I said, you'd have to ask him. It's still there when I drive by, so.
Is the parking lot full? Is the people there? Are they pumping out bikes? You know nothing?
Yeah, I think they're building bikes. I think they're doing well.
Didn't they sell the building, the big famous building?
All of us felt the lull, and I think we're all excited to be full bore again.
Nice.
Well, Paul, I'm wondering, piggybacking on that question, at the height of the OCC phenomenon, what was your biggest revenue stream? Because I remember 6, 7, 8 years ago, everybody was wearing an OCC shirt. There was so much merch out there. I'm like, God, they might be making more off T-shirts than actual bikes.
Yeah, we were making more off of T-shirts like the first week after the show aired than we were building motorcycles. So the licensing side of it was truly one of the phenomenons in licensing, and it lasted a really long time, you know. So we had 70 different licensees, and it just went on forever. It was just amazing. It really was. It was a phenomenon on every level, you know.
And you know, it was a phenomenon about the show, what you did. This is what set your show apart from other just reality shows at the time, was you gave Discovery Channel their identity for years.
For years.
It became the Chopper Channel.
Yeah, it was the Chopper Network.
It was the Great Biker.
Build-offs,
the Build-Offs were nuts. You'd have the Build-Off, Throttle Junkies. You had American Chopper, American Hot Rod. You had spinoffs. I think Vinny and Cody got their own
show. Let me ask you this, Paul Jr. You watch Discovery at all? Because the guys that I'm looking at now, who I'm like, man, they're on this meteoric rise, and who knows how this is going to play out. We all see, you know, what happens sometimes, is the Gas Monkey guys. You watching any of the Gas Monkey Garage?
No, I don't really watch that show. It doesn't do a lot for me. I know it does very well for Discovery. I know people love it. I know there's been some dynamic changes in that show. Discovery's programming right now, as far as the motor stuff, is killing it.
Yeah.
We're gonna make a great addition to that coming back. I feel like we'll probably take that space over in the sense of being their champion show. And I'm kind of excited about that. I think they have some pretty good programming, and they're going to pair us up with it, and I think it's just going to go through the roof.
Cool.
That's great. I'm glad you brought up that Gas Monkey Garage, because you even think about that. Even if you don't watch it, it's still a show about transportation, automobiles, custom automobiles.
That's right.
And you, the Tuttle family, senior and junior, you were
the blueprint,
genesis. You changed.
Yeah, it's amazing. We really did create a whole genre of television. And honestly, unknowingly, we did it, but we didn't set out to do it. It just, and I think that's what made it so have so much longevity is, it's just transparent what we are and what we've been able to do, and we've been very fortunate.
Well, be sure to check out the book, The Build, by Paul Tuttle Jr. with David Thomas, designing my life of choppers, family, and faith, and is a huge fan of the show from its inception all the way towards the end, the special in 2014 with Shaq. I can't wait for the show to come back out next year, and we'd love to talk to you again as soon as it re-debuts, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, bud. Paul Jr. Designs joining us on the phone. Take care today, bud.
Yep, you too.
God, I remember when I was up in Albany and I was producing, and that show, he said it was, what, 10 years? How many years ago?
2002, I think it got started. Jeez.
So, yeah, I started in 99, so 2 or 3 years into, like, my producing career, the show gets huge, and they're, like, right down the street. Near. I called that shop, the shop.
Yeah.
Because this was before it was big and before publicists and everything. I called down to Orange County Chopper 50 times just to try to get Paul Tuttle on. And finally, they said yes.
It was a status symbol to own one of those bikes. Wyclef had one. Shaq had one. I want to call him back. I want to ask him if Jesse James was a dick.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was the other big chopper gun on there, and he just looked like a righteous prick on the air.
And we finally got, like, Paul Tuttle on the air, and I remember that. And then I can't remember what it was. I'm racking my brain. There was a big bike show in Lake George called Americade every year. And it was right when they first got big, and I went up, and I drove all the way up to Lake George, and I went to their booth, and they had the fire engine bike there. Remember the fire engine bike? And they had, like, the fighter jet bike. And I remember I brought, like, a cassette with me, and I think it was a cassette of Paul Tuttle. He said, like, he wanted a copy of the interview or something. And I drove all the way up there with a cassette in my glove box, and I gave him, like, an air check of it.
That's cool.
I was, like, so deep in the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is before you could just MP3 someone to break real quick. Scott's gassing up the car to hand someone a cassette. Pretty cool. Check out the book, Paul Tuttle Jr.'s The Build.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had one of those conversations yesterday where midway through it, we started to say to ourselves, as much as we love talking about this, and according to the text and the tweets and the phone ringing off the hook, it seems like you did also. And in the back of our head, there's this little goblin of concern. Are the bosses going to hate this based on prior conversations about similar conversations? Essentially, Scott asked his pants.
I even said to Mike the day before when I was leaving, I'm like, man, my life's been pretty boring lately. I'm like, I haven't been bringing much to the table. Like, I'm just kind of coming to work. I'm running. I'm like, I don't want to talk about running nonstop on the air. Nobody gives a crap. I'm like, and I'm just being a dad and doing, like, nothing's popping off. And then I finally had something to contribute, and it was a pair of messy drawers because I crap my pants. But like you said, it's one of those things everybody can relate to. The phones went nuts. The texts went nuts. But yet, why is it a big deal, or would it be a bad thing if we talk about it? Like, why? Like,
we're beholden to the concern of the minority when the majority enjoy listening to it.
It's not like we do it every day, and it's super relatable. It's happened to everybody. It's real life. It's that whole ruining people's breakfast thing. I don't abide by that. If you're up and you're driving, you're doing whatever you're doing, and you're listening to our show, you enjoy our show. This is what we do. And if you're pushing away your bowl of oatmeal, then come on, that's a little. I don't know.
Just look at the texts and the tweets and the calls and stuff like that. People loved it. They had a laugh at it. We've all done it. And I would even hearken to guess, Ricky, if you got Wavo 1 beneath them dad jeans of yours, you would talk to us off air and regale us with the tale of a time you did yourself, because you were a man before you were a dad, husband, and a boss, and we know that at some point you got really deep into the Olean Olestra, you had a good cough, and you filled your boxers.
Oh, them sugar-free Twizzlers. Watch out.
Oh, what were the things? That was it. That was the stuff that you ate, Mike. The sugar-free Twizzlers that almost sent you to mercy.
Yeah, I forget what the that ingredient is in there that makes you poopy, but But yeah, we ate a bag of those, and yeah, it was not good.
Not great. Well, we had a funny conversation. Lord knows what sort of blowback we'll get from it this week when the bosses give us a talking to, but you seem to enjoy it as little as Scott enjoyed S-ing his pants on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, no, Scotty.
No, I don't. I may not go ahead with this break.
No, you need to do it.
I can't. There may be people listening. I've just met these people.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
And they don't know what happened. Yes.
It's at your thing.
My thing.
Your new thing.
My new thing.
Oh, boy.
I may have had an accident.
Let's start with saying it is a November to remember, and we're all easing up on the booze, and we're easing up on the carryout, and we're trying to stretch our legs a little more, and I'm doing jiu-jitsu badly. Mike, you need to start biking.
I feel absolutely 0% better, by the way.
Not at all.
Almost. Any of us feel better from not drinking and exercising and... No.
No, if it wasn't for my Sleep Number bed that I get out of and into my Jones automobile, I wouldn't feel any better than I do. And you decide to start running.
Yes.
And what happens?
We meet certain days of the week, and last night was one of the days we meet, and... If you're listening, I don't think anybody really knows who I am, thank God, but if they may now, if they're listening, and what they're about to hear might be alarming, but...
Do not excommunicate him from the group. He's just a man.
I left my house, and it's right near my house where we meet at the place, and I felt a little bubble stuff going on.
No.
And I was like, oh, boy. So I passed some gas, and I'm like, okay, I feel better. I feel better. It was just gas. And then as I pull up and park, I said, well, before I go in, let me let out a little more gas. And it was a lot more gas. I was expecting wind, and I got a little rain.
Oh, no.
I crapped my pants outside of my run
club. God!
In my car.
Oh, no.
And don't you don't wear underwear, right?
Well, I had running shorts on.
Oh, okay.
Did you have to take a dump? And let's just say the hazmat was 94% contained.
Okay, so it was, how do we put this?
That's all. That's
it was it. A trickle, not a flood.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I thought it was a flood, but I, let's just say, thank God there was a box of tissues in my car because...
Oh, no.
Maybe I, because what was I going to do? I was about to go inside, and I'm like, I didn't want to risk. I took matters into my own hands a little bit right there. God.
Did what needed doing.
In the vehicle, and then promptly had a brisk waddle straight to the bathroom.
I have a bad case of diarrhea. I have a bad case of diarrhea.
Straight to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And did as much as I could and then proceeded to go on a 40-minute run.
You still ran?
What am I going to do?
You're a hero.
What am I going to do?
If I accidentally midway through the day, my pants,
day's
clear
over.
The schedule. Day's I'm not over. Eating dinner with my family. I'm not watching wrestling. I'm not holding Evan. That day is over at that point.
But let's just... Okay. I'm in the car.
Okay.
Steering wheel. Mike, there's a lot of this.
Oh!
While you're driving?
No, I had parked. Oh, okay. I had parked. And I have a little bit of a cold. There was a box of Kleenex right next to me, thank God. But,
wow.
Yeah, man. I asked you guys a question last night. Hey, you remember when... You guys remember when the last time you crapped your pants was?
Because I do.
Yeah,
Last night.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes ago.
20 minutes prior to sending this text. Not my pants in the truck.
What'd you eat?
I don't know what it was. There was some sort of bubbles, and I got it out, and I was fine.
Can I ask you a question, too? That you have, I mean, just a woman. Your wife is hot as a campfire. Do you tell her? That's got to ruin the day for intimacy. Like, you can't expect to go home, regale her with tales of having a back end blowout in the truck, and then try and feel her up at all. That doesn't happen.
Hey, we've been together so long that it's cool just life. We're humans. And you know what? I didn't even tell her. I totally forgot when I got home.
Smart move.
She had something going on. She had spilled some dirt, and she was cleaning it up, and she was all in a tizzy, and Stella was in the bath, and I'm like, I totally slipped my mind. So if you're listening on your way to work today, honey, I crapped my pants in my car last night right before my running club, and then I went for a run. I cleaned up in the bathroom. I cleaned up a little bit in the car, and this is my life. And if you're in the running club and you're listening to this and you're putting two and two together, I apologize. Do not look at me any differently, please. I'm just a human with loose bowels.
Do you know how many people are going to be trying to run in front of you now? Because they don't want to catch a backdraft of that ass.
I apologize if anybody has done the math and put it together. There's only a few of you out there, and I love you. And I know I don't talk much in the group, and I'm shy, but I'm a good man.
His ass does the talking for him.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it.
I would have thought that this subject matter... I mean, Mike, am I making it up? The text lines, I can't keep up with. There's phone lines packed.
Smoke coming out of the machine.
Happened to everybody, you know?
Yeah. And last night happened to be my night. A very inopportune time.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be way worse than it was. Thank God it wasn't that bad. Because I knew going into it that I was gambling. I knew I was gambling. So I was tentative. Thought it was going to be just wind. But no, there was more to it.
Buddy.
And hey, what are you going to do?
You messed your pants.
I messed my pants.
Messed your pants.
The worst is when you can't get to it quick enough, and then a rash forms.
Oh, God.
What? I get to it immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
The world ceases.
Whatever you have to do. Yes, the world ceases, and you go into, you just go into the crisis mode.
Mm-hmm.
You just look around. You start figuring things out. Okay, I got two socks on. I don't have underwear. Okay, but I got a t-shirt. Okay, is there a bathroom? Is there toilet paper? Is there paper towels? What can I do? What is the fastest way to remedy this?
Yeah, how
mine
do I get...
happened to be the box of tissues next to me in my car.
Got to triage your ass.
Yes,
pretty much.
You pretty much yes. You do have to triage that butt. It becomes an immediate code brown situation. Everything stops. That and if I break a tooth, like if I crack a tooth, the world goes away until that tooth is fixed. You people out there that have waited years to get that tooth fixed, sell blood. If you mess your pants. I'm not going to maybe finish that run. And yes, we're getting a lot of people that are texting, tweeting, and about like marathon runners do it all the time. This is not that situation. This is where I went a little too hard on the queso the night before. I get the sneezes, and the next thing you know, damn it. And then the whole family hears, they all have a laugh, and the kids go, ha, Justin, his pants. 410-338-1098. You got some text you want to read us?
The old gambled and lost probably happens to me once a year. Don't feel bad, Scotty. Damn, once a year.
Becky Paul says, me and my husband had a stomach virus honeymoon. I remember him running to the bathroom and seeing the stain on his clothing.
crap my pants one summer day in the middle of the city while skateboarding. Had to clean up with a napkin and then ride the MTA 35 minutes home. Smelling like turds. This is getting disgusting.
Yeah, this is bad.
Sorry, Rick. We're Sorry, ruining buddy. People's breakfast.
It's going to be a brief one.
We're
going to
get yelled at. Damn yeah. it.
You know what?
We
it's
didn't
a Friday.
Think about that.
It's
we
a Friday.
About that. We're going to get yelled at.
First the dog and now this. What will we do Monday that will raise his ire?
Did we just pull the ripcord, Mike?
Hell no, man. We're
you're not alone. Same thing happened to me a year ago on a lunch break. You clean it up and you get on with it. Yes. You got to just forge ahead.
I hear that.
The old colon cake.
Oh. You're making me
try being a girl and having the other kind of accident.
The visitor.
Yeah, the visitor.
Oh yeah, that I feel bad for.
Aunt
actually,
Flo.
Oh God, yes. When you have to tap someone on the shoulder and be like, "I've had to in a grocery store. I've noticed that from behind, there's just a little bit of discoloration."
Oh. So, you yeah. did?
Yeah, it was like
you went up to a strange girl.
She didn't know. I did, and she was thankful. She had a jacket on. She had a windbreaker on. I remember it was a Safeway, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I wanted you to know. I think you might be, you might have something
really?
Happening. I just said, you think you might have something happening? She goes, oh my God, thank you. And she takes her jacket off, ties it around her waist,
and
road runners out of the aisle.
Yeah.
She didn't know.
It's the boiling tomato soup.
All right. Okay.
We'll get into that 8 o'clock hour.
No. We're getting suspended.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. I saw a Colossus powering up in the X-Men video game. My eyes are beginning to water. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, let's go ahead and open up the lines here. The more
Red
we do
moon
it.
Moon rising.
Okay, let's head on over to...
Somebody says they'll do it willingly for tickets.
No. You'll be barred from all future events. That's not going to get you tickets to a show.
Hey.
All right, can I go see Zeppelin? No, you can't. Oh, God. Let's go to Bill in Hanover. Boy, that gave me the eebie-jeebies. Bill, what's up, buddy?
Oh, this is not good.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Hey, and hold on, Bill. I'm going to put you on hold real quick, get right back to you. Just need to reiterate here real quick. Let's mind our P's and Q's here and watch what we say.
Let's.
We don't get to do this all the time, and we probably won't get to again until mid to late in 2019. So be sure to help us help you help us help you by watching what you say. Let's go ahead and get back to the phones. Bill in Hanover, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Hi.
Good.
Did I win tickets?
No.
Just kidding. anyway, there's a group of us that play up in play golf. There's like 20 or 30 of us, and this guy doo-dooed his pants so badly that he like had to. He went into a stream and took a bath. As you know,
he washed his ass in a creek.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally. Had to wash his pants out. Had to wash his underwear out. And, meanwhile, the other groups are like driving by. And,
have you ever let him live it down?
Never.
Hell no.
This was about a month ago. So
good. Don't ever let it die. Don't ever let that. Every time you see him.
Yeah. Every time you see a creek, just be like, hey, you want me to pull over? Did anybody remember? We all watched Naked and Afraid. I remember it was an earlier season that there was. I don't know why this reminded me of this. But there's footage of this woman. She, like, one of the guys brought the fire starter. The woman brought the water purifying bottle.
Yeah.
And she's in the creek and she's filling up the water bottle. And the camera just sweeps 50 yards up the stream. And the guy has got his entire ass in the water downstream. And he's just washing his ass out. And it's going into her water bottle. I'm howling like a banshee. Being like, hope that filter's up to speed.
Twitter, Brett says, had a family farting contest on the way home from King's Dominion.
Oh, no.
They're in the car having a family farting contest that apparently he tried a little too hard.
Oh, wow. All right, guys. 3, 2, 1, hit it. All right, who's got it? Now we gotta end the contest. We'll never find out who won. Let's go to.
We're getting to talking to.
Yeah,
him.
Rick. Just know that we already messed up, and do the thing where you're not mad at us. You're disappointed. We get it. Let's go to Damien in Baltimore. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hello.
In trouble.
Yeah. So I finally feel like you guys had a topic that speaks to my soul because in my adult life. I probably blew out my O-ring probably about 12 times.
Whoa!
In my adult life.
You got to go to a doctor, man.
I got a loosey caboosey, I guess. I don't know. So, to the most recent time, I worked for a mortgage company. It runs a Smargo, and I happened to be in front of my very wealthy office manager. Oh, I was about to go. I was getting ready for a closing, and a new nice $600 suit, and I had some shenanigans going on inside.
Oh no!
And I just basically super soaked when I tried to let out a sly fart, and just whoopsie poopsied out and ruined my britches, and I could not make my closing. I made up some crazy lie that I couldn't make. I had a flat tire. And then after the fact, I feel terrible about this. I truly do. But normally at my clothes dry clean at a certain Asian lady's. I went to a different Asian lady to take my suit specifically because I didn't want my Asian lady to know that I left her some gravy in my.
God. Okay. You had me until that last one. God. Thank you. Oopsie poopsie pop me. And I get it, having to have another cleaner.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
You'll hear a conversation coming up about the pressures of tipping with the new, Mike, I believe it's called, what, the Cloverleaf?
Yeah.
Checkout system. It's an iPad. All it is an iPad. and they flip it around, and there's a touch screen saying you want to give no tip, some tip, a lot of tip, custom tip, whatever. And you know, we break down the anxieties. Is there a field, an employment field that you feel like should be tipped, but people don't? Off the top of your head, like someone you're like, hey, man, great job. I know you're catching a paycheck. I know you're catching a salary, maybe even an hourly wage, but here's a couple extra bucks.
Well, I always have that problem when like somebody comes to my house to do something.
Yeah. Landscapers, movers is a big one.
Like the movers, I tip. You got to tip the movers. Like they're there all day and they're working hard. But like when somebody comes to your house to like, I don't know. There's been a few incidents with the new house where I've had people over. I don't know if what they were fixing or what they were doing.
I had to go over and accept a mattress at your house the other day. And my first thought when they got here was like, oh crap, I don't have any cash to tip.
I don't know what the protocol is. Like, do you tip those guys? They're taking it out of the truck and they're throwing it in the house. And do they catch five spot for that? Or I don't know. It's like there's certain times where I don't know the proper tipping protocol, I guess.
I recently was on the business end of my decent tipping bearing fruit for me by tipping often and tipping well that it actually benefited me. Where we get our haircut, that place could sometimes get a little hectic. Big line. Shout out Phil over at the bank. Bump me up a couple of spots because I'm taking pretty good care of him over there. I go to Phil. He gets me all faded up real nice. I got to go in there before the end of the week and get a clean up. Hey, Bub says you take great care of him too.
Yeah, I never get bumped up though.
Yeah, but I'm getting bumped up a Phil. You gotta get my man Phil. But boy, you go to Bub. Bub's is like, Bub's is so sought after there. He's just like the godfather of that place. Josh, you ever notice that when you get like your food delivered, do you ever notice that you get a couple extra hunks of chicken, or the lo mein's more properly sauced, or the Indian's got a little extra kick to it because you take such good care of the people that deliver it? Or
no, in fact, they don't do anything extra for me, really. It's all business.
All business. Business.
Yeah.
I mean, do you get a lot of the same delivery drivers over and over?
No, it's usually different people. A lot of turnover.
See, I can see that. Like, that's where it's not going to bear any fruit, but you hit the same person over and over again, same spot over and over again, grease their palms a little bit, you'll get a couple of chunks of chicken and that General Tso's, or you know, a 40-minute pizza, you know, only takes 20.
I've complained about how there's too much broccoli in the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them to take the broccoli out, and now they put these little potatoes in. And there are more potatoes than meat.
Yeah.
It's a total scam, this Chinese food thing. I'm on to them.
Oh, they have a specific amount of chicken you're getting. That's all you're getting. They're not going to replace it with more meat. Yeah, they want to fill that up.
They are not a wasteful people.
Oh, no. No. They're going to put something in there in substitution. Here's the only hook I've found in Chinese delivery that's helped me get more of the food that I like. House lo mein. That's the chicken, the pork, and the shrimp. And it usually has veggies. If you say no veggies, usually they'll hook you up with more noodles, more than meat. But I'm eating good in the neighborhood. Try it next time you order house lo mein, no veggie, and they're gonna pack that thing to the top.
Ooh.
With a little bit more noodle, a little bit more meat.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that later.
You're gonna do it tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna
do it
tonight.
Doing it tonight. Definitely. Call right now. Tipping on Behind the Curtain.
Mike brought this to our attention. I have noticed this, and we got to get into it. Maybe it might go a little deeper than what we normally thought. But you go into a lot of places now, and I got that little weird register. It's the weird
I did some research yesterday. The Clover Station.
Whatever. It looks like an iPad.
It's an iPad.
Yeah, it's
all definitely
an
iPad.
It's an iPad, and you stick your card into it, and then what they do is they spin the screen around, and you can sign with your finger.
Turn it around.
And then you can ask if you want a receipt or if you don't want a receipt.
Do I put it in or swipe? There, I put it in.
And it's like a new touch screen, little iPad-looking register. And the problem that Mike Anderson has with these things is that now it seems like there's three or four buttons at the bottom that says no tip, 12%, 18%, 20%, whatever the hell it is. And he's feeling an unwanted and unwarranted pressure to tip now.
Yeah,
where normally it wouldn't have been that way.
Right, yeah. It's been bothering me for a while because this place I go to in Cockeysville, Penka's, it's a Peruvian chicken place, like 3 or 4 months ago, switched over to the system.
Blow their spot up.
I went there.
Well, no, I'll say this place is great. I love this place. Great chicken. I go there at least 4 or 5 times a week. And they switched over and, you know, they'd spin the thing around and it would say 20, 15, 10%. And each time I put, you know, well, this doesn't really warrant a tip. I just got, you know, half a chicken, two sides. She threw it in a styrofoam container, plopped it down. This isn't really a tippable sort of service.
This is a continuation of a conversation I think we had just about a year ago about places that ask for a tip. You've got that ratty old fish bowl with a flash card precariously taped to it that's like tips, and it's nothing but old change and buttons in it.
This is one step beyond the tip jar, because there is a there's actual sort of an action here, like a call to action, because, you know, they'll flip it around. Hey, do you want to leave a tip? And this past week, the girl even said, hey, if you want to leave a tip, you can do that here, like furthering the pressure to leave a tip.
See, but my only question is that when you normally did these transactions, wouldn't you need to, like, did you need to sign a receipt?
Yeah, because
isn't there a tip line on the receipt? So what's the difference?
Well, there's that, but here you actively have to hit no tip. You know what I mean? Whereas before you just would leave it blank. Now you have to actually say no. No, I'm not giving you a tip. I have to push that button.
Would you like to tip, sir?
You're not seeing you push it. That's
my
question too.
Flipped around,
right? But a lot of them will have a double screen. Penka's in particular has a double screen. So I'm wondering, when I hit note, is like a big notification pop up? Not a tipper, or so? I mean, do they know? They have to know, right?
I don't know. I think you're doing your classic overthink. Do what you want to do. If you want to tip, tip. If you don't want to tip, tip every like 4 times you go in there or something.
Where does it stop? Am I have to start tipping on online orders now? Like when I go to Amazon, do I tip there?
Well, they're not preparing your food.
Somebody boxes it up.
It's, you know, like, Mike, I bet you're not wrong. I bet you'll see, much in the same way that this place never had this system in place before, but now it does. And there's certain stores before that I've been into, some big fast food chains that have gone a little rogue and will leave a tip jar up front. Okay. Certain ones I won't mention, but you bought me a shirt with their logo on it before, that there is one of them on Ritchie Highway that has a tip jar. You kidding me? Hand me my mix of melt and tell your story walking. Amazon one day will have a, hey, you want to kick the guy that's boxing this up a couple of bucks as a tip? You'll be tipping people you don't even see.
Yeah. You know what? We should add a button to our app if you want to tip Josh when news is done, if you like news.
Yeah, let's get that set up right now.
John,
right now.
Build that.
I mean, that's the bigger story, that tipping in this country has reached a ridiculous level to where it's like you got to tip everything. Everybody, for every purchase you make now requires a potential tip.
You know what I do?
I love the tips.
So just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I do?
I'm not.
It's pretty easy.
But I don't like the pressure.
At a couple of places, I just throw, you know, they have the jar.
I throw my change in there.
Yes, exactly.
I spit it.
If you don't want to carry the change.
Right. If I pay them with cash and I get change, I don't want changing around in my pocket. Here's and then sometimes maybe I'll throw a dollar in on top of that. If I see it's a lot of young kids and it's like a Saturday or Sunday morning and they're up and they're working and they're young, it's like, here, man.
Very,
I know what that's like. I worked for tips for a long time. And
shout out,
like,
Pudgies.
Yeah, and so I know what that's like. But Mike Anderson, you're a grown man. You make money. You tip if you want, or don't tip if you want. But this added, I don't like the added pressure.
Is this the button I hit right here? Is this the one?
Yeah.
No peace, tip. Bitch. And then you just bounce after you spit on the screen. You'll probably get in trouble for doing that.
Yeah, because most places, like, I'm trying to think, like, I would go to this other place, like, when I lived in Canton. Shout out at Waters, and I get a lot of to-go orders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I would run my card, and they would give me the receipt, and I would have to sign it. And there was always a tip line. And all they were doing was preparing my food, and I would go pick it up, and I would go home and eat it at my house, right? So there was no real waitress service. But I would leave them like a dollar or two.
Whoa!
Because I like those people.
Are you reading the text or the tweets?
No.
Amazon Prime now has tipping. I'm getting texts in, tweets in, Russell, Becky, Angela, all saying, Amazon
Prime. Who are you tipping?
Who are you tipping?
Like, at least at this Penka place, you see the woman, you see what they're doing. It's probably a family-run joint. You know, like, when you're tipping, the money's going to those people. With Amazon, who the hell are you tipping?
Thank you so much for your tip, human. We appreciate it. You shall live when the world ends. We will remember this during the uprising. Your 10% tip. Your family will not be used as human meat batteries. You will be sent to a labor camp. Thank you.
So you're saying you normally wouldn't have tipped anyway?
Right. I normally wouldn't have
on
tipped.
On the paper receipt, there's a tip line. You leave it blank, just fill in the total amount, and then sign it.
Right.
So then just do the same thing electronically. What's the effing difference?
I do, but I feel like they resent me now for not tipping. Like I said, she made a point to say it the last time I was there.
Hey, spoiler alert, we resent you.
Okay? I think she was just letting you know of the new technology and how to use it. I think she was just,
you know.
Yeah, I think maybe she was just pointing out that, like, hey, at the bottom, if you want to leave with him, that's how you do it and where you do it.
And
because normally you would fill on the tip line, but this is new, so you didn't know. That's right. All.
And that's a possibility.
Such a big deal if I didn't go to this place 5 days a freaking week. But now I feel like there's this weird cold war going on between me and the
cashier.
Well,
look who it is. It's Mr. No Tip. Sorry it's taken so long to get your chicken. If you didn't come traipsing in here with your...
The Anderson Agenda.
Yeah, I'm worried that they're going to be hawking a lunger in my kale.
And again, this whole thing started when everyone started implementing this no Clover station. Like you said, it's an iPad that they spin around and you have to sign it with your finger and you have to put the, you know, no tip, or you can tip 20%, 50%. It's just introduced a whole new level to this carryout tipping debacle.
Let's go to the phones real quick. Let's talk to Todd in Hunt Valley. Todd, thank you for holding, bud.
Hey, I see exactly what Mike is saying. You actually have to push no tip, whereas before you would just leave it blank. Now, the Domino's where I live started doing this.
Yeah.
And the first time that it came up, I got a little thrown. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm paying for the pizza.
So you normally wouldn't tip. First of all, you wouldn't normally tip, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I'm not being served anything, and they didn't deliver it to my house.
Right, okay.
So I'm paying for the product that I would pay. Would you tip at McDonald's? No. They're putting stuff in a bag and giving it to you. It doesn't merit a tip. You're paying for the food.
So you're saying the first time you're in the place and they whip that screen around, you were taken back a little. You're like,
I was.
And... how did you react? What did you do? Hello.
I've been coming here for years. I never tip, and so I hit no tip. And every time I go there, I hit no tip. They're not delivering it, and they're not bringing it to the table.
There you go.
There
Mike.
You go, buddy.
See, this guy's got balls, Anderson. You need to get some balls.
All right, let's do one more. And maybe we can keep this up after if you want.
See,
to
but
do this
guy, that's the point though. But this guy noticed it, and he felt. Whatever that thing is that Mike is feeling, it's this new thing that you're forced to feel. I don't know if it's guilt or pressure or it's just a weird kind of new.
Looking at you, high-end grocery stores that love to proclaim loudly, would you like to make a $5 donation to children with face cancer?
Right, that kind of thing.
I guess I have to.
It's like a new technology-induced anxiety and pressure.
Yeah, it really is. It's a machine and anxiety induced pressure because
it's like
the
one
is there.
I have is like this is totally different. But when I stop at red lights now and I look behind me and I see the person pulling up behind me is on their phone, I sit there and I'm always afraid I'm going to get rear ended by people that are on their phones.
Well,
that's based on technology. It's a new technology anxiety. This is a new thing a new pressure that Mike feels.
Interesting.
Right, and again, like our last caller just said, they're essentially putting it into a bag. So I mean. Is McDonald's going to start putting out an option to tip? Because that's essentially what they do, right?
Well,
they
I
do
mean,
the same
I guess
thing
you
as
have
any
a right not to do
place.
It, right? Don't you have a right not to do it?
And we're told that the Amazon Prime feature is for the one-hour delivery feature. It's the Amazon Prime
you
Now.
You tipping the driver
You're
or something?
Tipping the driver, yes. For getting you that 55-inch flat screen you had to have at 4 o'clock, so you ordered it at 2 o'clock. That makes sense.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Our buddy John Rollo from Ground Control Baltimore, groundcontrolusa.com. If you want to roll around or maybe even bump into me, part of our November to Remember, we're staying clean, staying sober, except for tonight. Hopefully we'll see you at Uncensored. It's been the one night that we're going to allow ourselves a little bit to drink because we're doing a meet and greet. Cannot wait to bring that liquid to my lips. Rollo stopped in, and after I did my first class, it was just an orientation. Mikey, I laid down on the ground with you, and in that moment where he's choking you out, he did what was called an arm triangle, where he basically chokes you with your own limb, which has got to be a real belittling move. Do you feel like, okay, obviously you feel less of a man, but you've been doing this bodybuilding stuff all year, which has increased your strength. It's increased your physicality. It's got to increase, you know, your self-confidence and manliness. Does it all just dissipate and turn to ash when you see just how quickly none of that matters when he's boa constricting you around your neck?
I had no delusions that, you know, I had some sort of chance of countering his submission attempt on me. I just let it happen at that point. But yeah, he put me in an arm triangle, and I thought my eyeballs are going to pop out of my head.
Well, I noticed something interesting, and I I guess there's video of it. I haven't really seen the video, but the first time he put it on you, you were just telling him to stop, but you didn't tap. Like, did you almost like forgot to tap, and he like kind of kept going. It was almost like he is, what's it called, conditioned to stop when tapped.
Exactly. And not stop when saying stop.
And you didn't tap, and then you realized, like, oh, crap, I better tap. All of a sudden, I see you like, oh, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do this. You're like, tap, 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 tap. Okay, he stopped. Finally, he stopped.
I guess the more you do jiu-jitsu, that becomes like second nature. But at this point in my life, that is not second nature.
No, it wasn't.
At all.
You were like, oh, crap.
Oh, God. At JSS98Rock on Twitter, our Twitter profile picture is of Mike with his Matt Hardy looking hair. There is a vein, there's two veins sticking out of your forehead. That there's a level of blood flow in that brain that. Did you get a headache later? Did you see stars? Was there any repercussions in the afternoon?
It took like 20 minutes to feel normal again, but. Yeah, I mean, it literally feels like all the blood vessels in your face are going to explode. Your eyeballs might get pushed out of your skull. It just feels like your head's going to explode. Because, I mean, John's arms. I mean, anyone putting a choke on you is going to do something akin to this, but John's arms, it's like having a monster truck tire around your neck.
Dude, he choked your lips chapped. Look at the picture. He choked your lips dry. He squeezed the moisture out of those soup cooler's ears. John Rollo helping me get a little bit more physically fit as I dry out during our November to remember. He stopped up, choked out Mike. Here it is on Behind the Curtain.
Midst of a November to remember, a no drink November, which is proving to be an awful idea.
It's the worst.
So many people have pointed out why it's like, why? Thanksgiving coming up. You know, the fall weather. You just want to have a beer outside by a fire and Thanksgiving and enjoy it. But we're not drinking. Maybe a little bit to this Saturday for Uncensored, but that's it. We've allowed ourselves that, and then we'll go back to it. I've joined Charm City Run. I'm running with my group. Shout out.
Turn up.
Don and everybody that's in my group. I'm going today for a little tempo run. Mike's doing his physical fitness like he always does. Spiegel cutting back on the low main.
Good for you, buddy.
And the General Sows.
I just fear that the pendulum is going to swing back the other direction.
So far.
Really hard.
We'll see.
Come December.
We're all just going to be Nicolas Cage from Leaving Las Vegas.
Justin almost had a moment of weakness over the weekend and turned to the booze, but he did not.
I didn't. I stayed strong.
And yesterday was your first day of training?
Today?
Did you go yesterday?
Yesterday, just basically an introduction. Thank you to whoever that young man was, John, that you're like, hey, here's where they hang up the geese. Here's the facilities. Here's the weights. Here's everything you need. Here's the mats. Here's a young 12-year-old boy. I'll just call him Ryan. Hey, Ryan, just jump on Justin and do something. And next thing you know, I'm like, Jordan, get the child off me.
Man, came in, had the tour. You know, when he comes out of the locker room after he changes, he's in full tap-out gear regalia.
Sorry.
So I knew it was going to be a bad day.
Shouldn't have worn that stuff.
We do the warm-ups, and Justin does well through the warm-ups. You know, time, you know, then we break down into your technique session. So the instructor gathers everybody in the center of the mat.
So this is ground control, your place. Now, what is
jiu-jitsu
it taking?
Class.
Is it like
an
intro to jiu-jitsu, or is this
it's
the beginners?
Beginner jiu-jitsu
class. So he's in
class.
A beginner's jiu-jitsu class.
Absolutely.
And how many people are in it?
I'd say about 15 to
Perfect.
20 people.
An age group, all ages?
Age group, we'll save that to the end.
Yes. Damn it.
So
warm-ups are good.
I'm going to babysit half of these kids.
Warm-ups are good. Then we get to the instruction session, and then that's going well. Partners break up, drill together. You know, takes a few times, but Justin's getting the techniques. At the end of class, we always have like a little like kind of live session so everybody can get a sweat and you can work out. So, you know, Justin did well in the first round. You know, we started him with the 5 and 6 year olds.
No, and, that you young? Know, then, no way.
But there's some big kids once, in that class, dude.
Once we bumped him up
is
to
that
the,
illegal?
Once we bumped him up to the 9 and 10 year olds, well, the parents did ask Justin to sign a waiver.
Okay, good.
So if their kids hurt him. Then
that's right. Honestly, there was no recourse. He made
Justin.
Me sign paperwork. And I'm like, John, I'm not going to hurt these kids. He goes,
no,
it ain't for you. I'm like, oh, okay. so they don't hurt me.
It was good. I mean, Justin used to train with us back in the day, so he knows the routine, and he's obviously a huge fan of the sport of mixed martial arts.
That's what I was
going
to say. Being a huge fan of MMA like he is, does that translate at all to any kind of leg up?
Yeah.
Watching it on TV does not make you a...
Where it does help is that you're familiar with the techniques involved and the names of the techniques.
Right.
So if I walk in and a person's first day ever, they walk in and you're talking about guard and they may not know what that means.
He knows what
he understands.
Guard. Full guard, half guard, side control.
It's a little bit
better
because he can speak the language, and that's an important part.
Like, I know why I'm going to sleep.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm going out, but I know why I'm going out. Mike Anderson, I thought of you as my MMA compatriot jiu-jitsu buddy in here, and all I was thinking that you would have a ball. Now, we're having a laugh, and these kids were just enjoying the hell out of themselves, just getting to tap out the new dork. And, I mean, all of them were just, honestly, the staff is incredible. The students are incredible. And I'm joking when I say putting me to sleep. I mean, the minute I'm tap, they release the hold immediately. I'm never in any imminent danger. And I'm thinking, Mikey, if you came in there and we geed up, because I only know jiu-jitsu from mixed martial arts. I'm not going to pretend I knew jiu-jitsu outside of it.
Sure.
But there's gi jiu-jitsu in there,
absolutely.
And there's gi chokes. You're grabbing.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not wearing the Hoist Gracie gi?
I mean, we have classes in each. You know, we have no gi classes.
The gi,
classes.
You use that for leverage.
Absolutely.
And it's like a weapon.
Yeah,
you
can use the sleeves, the lapels.
Yeah.
You could use the belt. Use the gi. It's... the lapel at the bottom of the lapel and bring it around. It's the gi game is very technical. You know, it's all of the gi techniques don't translate to the fight game, but in sport jiu-jitsu, man, there's tons of things to do. You know, you can use that clothing as a weapon.
You could use it for like judo throws. You get a hold of that gi and you kind of just chuck someone over your shoulder.
Part of judo and jiu-jitsu is grip fighting itself. And, whoever has control of the grips is normally the one that's going to win that match.
Dude, who is the instructor with the grip? The guy that could squeeze a stop sign and crumple it like aluminum foil.
Down in Colombia, my partner down there is Rocky Marcantoni.
Dude.
And JP is John Paul Feria, I believe is his last name. And JP, he's here from Brazil. He's been here over a year. And he's a fantastic instructor. He's a great guy.
And they're like the sweetest dudes in the world.
Oh, man, nicest guy ever.
There's no bravado from them. They're like very friendly.
Very good technician, too.
He's a technician. He knows his stuff. And he was speaking to me like a layman. Like he wasn't, because I know a little bit of the nomenclature. I'm not going to say I'm an expert. But he was very, place your hand there. Place your arm here. Lean in. Torque your back. Squeeze. And there you go. That's the technique. He wasn't getting frustrated that I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Mike Anderson. Rear naked Anderson.
The only weird request that Justin asked is when the wrestling went live, he asked the kids to put a mic mask on.
Mm-hmm.
He's still trying to this fantasy that he wants to throw down with Mike.
I wanted to fight you.
God, no.
I wanted to fight you 7 years ago. I do not fight 2017 Mike. 2010 Mike I get into the cage with. 2017 Mike sends me to an early grave.
As much as I love the sport, and I think every guy that watches it and into it fantasizes about fighting, but I mean, that's a special breed of person, right, John?
Yeah, that
can really compete at that level. I mean, you got to like getting punched in the face.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody really likes it. I mean, there are a few that actually do kind of get a rise.
Mind it.
Yeah, there's. I mean,
well, Rob Sullivan,
it absolutely takes a special type of person, and there are a lot of people that fight and they're really not that type of person, but they're doing it for the wrong reason. You know, maybe trying to get the glory or. Just to say they do it, but I have respect for guys to come in, think they're going to be fighters and then realize, hey, this isn't for me. I'm just going to stick to jiu-jitsu, you know?
I think this is going to be helpful this is all because of we're doing this November to remember. I'm not saying I'm going to start competing in the metamorphosis.
Yeah, get your body moving, get a sweat on, burn some
calories,
a little bit. Build some muscles, learn a little bit.
And it's a nonstop stretch too, man.
Nah, it's good. It's a lifestyle, honestly. If you get bit by the jiu-jitsu bug, it's really a lifestyle. I mean, you're going to eat better. You're going to become more flexible. Until I got into this sport, honestly, it was... You know, you see somebody and you say, oh, that guy's in shape. Well, you learn what the difference is about being in shape and looking like you're in shape, because honestly, they are two totally different things.
Right. You can look like you're
in
shape.
When you're talking
but when
about
you really
cardiovascular
are.
Oh, yeah. training and functionality, like, you know, you see a guy like me walking around, and if I didn't play sports and all I did was lift weights, I'd be stiff as a board and wouldn't be able to move, you know?
I am right now. Josh, would you ever have any interest in maybe coming in, throwing on a gi, and I'll just lie there limp in your arms and let you just do whatever?
No, this is my time of year where I don't leave the house.
Choke me out.
Roll around with some other dudes or something like that.
Josh and Joey Diaz, you know, he trains jiu-jitsu.
Coco trains?
Yes, believe
it or not.
He's
a blue belt. Him in a gi?
He's a blue belt, man.
Oh, look at a picture of Joey Coco Diaz in a gi.
He got his blue belt. He goes probably 3-4 times a week.
I'm going to choke their ass out right now. He's high as hell at the time, too. Imagine you get choked out by big, large, stoned Coco Diaz.
All right, so yesterday was day one. What is he in for? What is the... a beginner jiu-jitsu class? How long does it go for? What is it?
Classes are an hour long. You know, your warm-ups are going to last about 10 minutes. You have an instructional period that probably lasts roughly 30 to 40 minutes, and then you're going to have 10 to 15 minutes where you can do some live rolling. The live rolling is really optional. If, you know, not everybody that comes in there has a different goal, so we're trying to help you achieve your goals. We're not going to force you to, oh, you have to do this and you have to compete or you have to be a fighter. You know, in the three gyms that we have, we might have about 15 guys that actually fight. So I always compare it to like a regular gym. You know, when you just go to a regular gym,
like
you don't see 80
gym,
pro
where like everybody who's
in
going
there.
To like a boxing gym isn't going to get in the ring and knock somebody out.
Exactly.
They're going to just learn techniques and
This is
how
a
long
fitness
you going for?
Thing,
is it a week,
you
know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
I'm going to go throughout the rest
he's
of
go for the month,
the whole month, all November, and then if I keep it up, I keep it up. Oh my God! And during the what we call it, the live fire session, live rolling.
Yep.
Dude, do you know what I said to the cat in front of me? I am such a beta, drippy, wet pair of panties of a human being. We're all getting ready to kind of lock up, and he was like, "You can have top position if you want top position." I'm like, "No, we can stay standing. Go." Here we go. And I threw my hands up and did the shrug. Here we go. And the next thing you know, I'm upside down. The lights are going out. Who starts a fight with, here we go. You want to get Panera Bread after this? Oh, God.
Well, before you leave, John, can you give us a little jiu-jitsu 101?
All right, Josh, stand up. Yeah, Mike, hop on over. I went through it yesterday for an hour. It's time
for
you.
Once before.
Yeah.
Flying armbar,
right? A lot of hits on the internet. Flying that was years ago.
What kind of technique would you like to see at this point?
Arm triangle,
like a regular triangle. Honestly,
you know what? Not even like a
head and arm or
head and arm triangle.
Head and arm.
Yeah. Not like the rear naked. Everyone knows. Give me a head and arm triangle. God, I'd love for you to do a north south choke on his ass. All right, lay down on the ground.
Who cares? Livewire, NetEatOnline.com, Livewire. We're trying.
Oh yeah.
Describe what's happening. All right, Mike's in the. Mike's on the ground on his back.
In the head and arm triangle.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I want to get my arms.
His arms are so big.
Yeah!
Around Mike's neck.
Uh-huh.
I always tell guys, you got to get yourself ear to ear.
Ear to ear.
You have to keep this arm in the pocket.
Ass to ass!
Now we're going to lock the arms up.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah!
Now, how do I defend this?
You don't!
All right, you want me to put it on?
Just one more.
Yeah, what would I do?
All right,
John's got a bit of a bubble butt.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry!
Brawler's got a bit of a bubble butt on him.
If you're going to defend it, if I was, before I got into the really locked up position, I threw this leg up. Wrap your hands around the leg.
He can't reach?
Dude, he can't do that.
There he goes, got it.
Your hands together. Like you'll be on your side here. So, look,
so you're just pulling against your own leg.
Exactly.
Leverage.
Just
leverage.
Pulls back and opens up the shoulder here. So when I'm squeezed.
God, look at John. He's so big and
he's
like on the ground.
Made
and he's
a muscle.
Limber, and he's made a muscle and he can hop around.
Go to groundcontrolusa.com. Groundcontrolusa.com. If you're in Columbia, who knows? You might run into me. I'll be rolling around there. John, thank you for all of your help with a November to remember.
Thank you, guys.
This is my
it.
Physical portion. It is such a great time. The facility's awesome. The kids are awesome. The instructors are awesome. Stop by. Choke me out.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Finals back. People are trying to make JNCO happen, and, you know, old stars that become new again. But cassettes, you'll hear coming up, we talk about whether or not cassettes will truly ever catch on again the way vinyl has. I just don't think so still. And you'll hear us make this point coming up. You know, compared to vinyl, which is just a pressing, and CDs, which are a pressing, there's like screws and plastic molding. There's too much mechanics inside of like a VHS tape and a cassette, I think, to make it worth manufacturing again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing I found interesting was that like the tape they used to make them is just kind of no longer even around because there's no use for it. And it said something like it's very similar to the magnetic strip on the back of a credit card, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of using that kind of stuff to make new cassettes. But
you got to wonder, is there going to come a time when actual film photography film can't be found anymore as everything goes digital and mediums are no longer actual physical content? I mean, we've had great photographers throughout the years hang out here. You know, shout out Danny, shout out Justine, J-Boss is in there, and everything she uses is digital.
Well, remember, like, every mall would have a photo store with all the photo equipment. When's the last time you saw one of those?
Yeah, the one-stop, one-hour drop-off made famous in the, original Back to the Future? The mall parking lot kiosk, you just drop it off one day, pick it back up the next?
Yeah.
What about back to cassettes? Any of you ever make a mixtape for a lady?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, featuring the music of Pennywise, NoFX, Descendants, All and No Use for a Name, Bree Robinson never made me a cassette in return.
I remember getting in a lot of trouble because I made the warm-up cassette for our basketball team in high school, which included a lot of Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac at the time.
Yeah, and I bet it got him hype as hell.
It was great. I thought it was great until all of a sudden, abruptly, halfway through it, it was turned off and I saw my coach angrily throw it in the trash can.
Well, did it have profanities in it, Michael?
No, I spent like so much time, you know, I forget how I did it, but I bleeped it all out. Again, I forget how I did it. It was an old school analog way of doing it. But yeah, I made sure it was all clean.
What did you want, like Waylon Jennings or some of his favorite music? This is the stuff that the kids are listening to. You got to get them hype. You're not going to do that with John Denver and the Mamas and the Papas.
He listens to the show, Bill Jones, if you're listening, shout out.
Oh my God, can we get Bill Jones, your old basketball coach, up
here? I'd love to. Yeah,
Bill Jones, open invite. What was Mike like in high school? We talked about it. You chimed in. We played some cassettes. Are cassettes coming back? We don't think so, but we'll let you decide. I'm behind the curtain.
Oh, turn that cassette up. Oh, wow, that's cool. I love having to fast forward to the next song. Yeah, cassette.
That was one good thing about a cassette, was that if you didn't want to have to be bothered with, like you said, fast forward or rewinding, you were just putting it in and listening to a whole album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't listen to just three or four songs. You'd be like, I'm just going to let it play.
What a great point you just made. Were you more likely to hear songs on a cassette because you got to... Is this not my favorite part? Hold on, rewind. Is this... Yeah, keep going. Oh, it's the wrong side. Flip it. But with a cassette, you're like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to let the whole damn thing play.
Even with vinyl, you can see where the tracks are. Tape, it's a complete guessing game.
Well, you would look at the window of on the cassette and you...
After
you played with that cassette so much, you would learn like when one side was fatter and how skinny the other side was, like where you were.
Yeah, this much iron oxide on the left meant that battery's coming up. This much iron oxide on the other side meant that, you know, your other favorite song was coming up. Master of Puppets was coming up. Oh yeah, I remember that. I memorized the iron oxide tape on the Master of Puppets cassette. Could tell you where every song was going to be. But you're right, with the resurgence of vinyl, everyone wants a turntable. Everyone wants like a sweet, turntable and speaker set up on the whole damn thing. But it's a richer sound.
There's arguments for vinyl.
Yes, exactly.
Apparently there's a warmth. It's a richer sound. It's actually, you know, a needle going through the grooves, and it's the actual sound of the music that you're hearing. And then, so that kind of resurgence sort of makes sense.
It does. You can see where the album is. You could see where the song is at, and you could hear that richness. But with the cassette, the only advantage that it had was how small it was.
Yep.
Really, that was
portable
it.
Portable and small.
I mean, the packaging on vinyl's better. The sleeve of vinyl's better. The durability of a cassette may be compared to. But with vinyl, outside of it getting scratched, How many times are we fishing tape out of a cassette player?
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
Get a pencil and wind it back up.
Exactly. You got to do the. You got to do that, or you'd put it between your fingers and would spin it around like this, trying to get it to rewind. Mike, you say you found an article that they're improving, like the cassette technology.
In the Wall Street Journal, and apparently, I can't open the article again because I have to subscribe now to the Wall Street Journal. But apparently,
why cassette tapes are making a comeback?
Yeah, they're making a comeback, and they're saying that they're able to improve the technology now to where it sounds better than the old cassettes.
Plus, so, you could record over a cassette.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, now eventually, if you re-record it over top of that mixtape 500 times, you're hearing NXS come through CNC Music Factory, come through Snoop Dogg, come through, you know, D-Light.
I mean, it does have the size going for it. I mean, it's way smaller than a CD or a record, obviously. So they were saying like a lot of bands now are passing out their new stuff.
Is it just trendy, though? Is this just a trendy thing? It's just a trendy thing, right?
Like,
you saw a guy with a Walkman, like a cassette man or whatever the hell it's called.
And you're looking at it, you're like, you're not listening to the new Arcade Fire on that. You think Neutral Milk Hotel, okay, Bonnaroo attendee, is putting out fresh tracks on a cassette? For all I know, they are. This looked like the same guy that would go into a coffee shop and would bring his typewriter with him. Like, oh, God, you stink with your stupid hat. Yeah, it's just not as convenient. But there is a market for them. Hey, shout out to the Rodcast. It's a show I listen to that released an exclusive episode of their podcast on cassette. The only way you could get it was to buy the cassette, and they sold out. How genius is that?
Yeah, it's partly, I would imagine, a nostalgia thing, a trendy thing. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to replace, like, a... Yeah. I don't know.
It's not going to have the resurgence of vinyl did. I could promise you, like, vinyl shops are springing up. Music stores are adding vinyl. Look at Soundgarden. Soundgarden's adding vinyl sections.
Right.
Are they now
going to have a giant cassette section?
No. Hell no.
Cassettes are cool again. Surge in popularity for the retro device has led to the revival of magnetic tape manufacturing lines.
Idea. Uncensored is sold out. We have tickets to give away all this week. We already gave away today's pair. We'll do it again tomorrow all the way through Friday. The thing doesn't get broadcast. It doesn't get recorded. It doesn't get released. What if we made a VHS of it? What if we made a VHS for sale? We make a VHS tape of the final show this weekend. Only available on VHS. Can you record VHS to a digital platform and have it uploaded? Yes. Is it a pain in the ass? Absolutely. I tried to transfer a bunch of porn to a laptop a long time ago, and it was a Daisy Jane group of devices that I never want to go through again. Let's VHS tape this last show and sell it. We get all the proceeds, man. We'll be swimming in it.
I think we've talked about this before, and the bosses don't want us, you know, cursing or doing anything else lewd being out there for distribution.
Really?
If I remember correctly.
I don't want to float the idea just one more time today, along with Dimensions. It's worth floating a VHS recording of this. Hell, I'll put that son of a bitch on beta.
Because everybody asks about us recording Uncensored and selling it. We get texts about it all the time. And our evil boss, Rick, has put a kibosh to that idea.
Sinister. He's the mind flayer. Rick Strauss from the Upside Down. Yeah. I think it'd be hilarious. John checks in, says he tried listening to an old cassette a year ago. It sounded horrible. It was muffled and warped. Remember what happened when you left a cassette in a hot car? It would melt and warp.
Yeah, but I wonder, because I'm reading the article here, the name of the company is National Audio Company. Apparently the resurgence of cassettes has made a worldwide shortage of the tape, because they weren't making the tape anymore. So they've put a new production line in place, and this machine can produce 4 miles of tape a minute.
That's so much tape.
And it says several bands, including Metallica, several bands, including Metallica, still produce albums on cassettes. And that, so if you get a brand new cassette with brand new 2017 tape and put it in, who the hell knows what it would sound like?
People are checking in that they would buy a VHS. What if we made the VHS tape so ignorantly priced, we sell them for $100 a piece, and we keep copying them. So they get worse and worse. Like, you want to get one of those first copies, because by the time you buy the 100th one, it's just total slop. I'm telling you, $98. $98 for the uncensored VHS. And we could put in one of those dingy sleeves, and we could make it look like one of those porn covers. Oh, we could make it look like some sleazy porn cover. When you flip around on the back, and there's the dirtiest parts, Mike, remember this, on the back of the VHS tape? There'd always be some girl doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
it
all
this too.
Yeah, yeah, that right there. They do that too, and then they'd also do this. Yeah, right there. Oh yeah, all that hot Justin Scott and Spiegel uncensored action on VHS. Let's go to the phones real quick.
Yeah.
Ooh, the lines are heating up, Josh. Hope you don't mind if I make myself comfortable. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin's a dirty little slut. Hey, Kevin.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, you whore?
Hey, I wanted to weigh in on the cassette thing. I held on to my cassettes way into the 2000s because my car would still play them, and I would take them running with me, and they wouldn't skip. Whereas all the CD players were super expensive to get those anti-skip ones. If you hit a bump in the car, the whole thing would skip anyway.
Yeah, shock but resistant. Haven't, like, what about an iPod? Haven't they been around for a long time? You never... Never
yeah, but back in the day, they were a little out of my price range. You got to remember, I was a teenager driving an old, like, 93 Taurus. I didn't have a MP3 option.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. How many people also remember the cassette adapter for the CD player, shoving the cassette in there that had the cable?
I had one up until last year. I swear to God, on my 4Runner. It's a 2005 4Runner, and it had a CD thing, and then it had a cassette thing, and the only way I could listen to music off of my iPod was to use the cassette adapter.
Oh my God, I fully want to steal the Rodcast's idea and just make a cassette of the Uncensored or Our Show or something. A never-before-heard show, only on cassette. Let's go to Bruce in Baltimore. What's up? Open Bruce. Up the cassette lines.
Brucey!
Brucey!
Bruce!
Bruce!
Hi, good morning.
Brucey!
Brucey, my friend.
Bruce! Hello, Bruce.
What's up?
Hey, I was down at the Capitol Audio Fest this weekend. I was working down there, and there was a guy who had a reel-to-reel deck that he was demoing his systems on. It sounded fantastic, and they're selling reel-to-reel tapes again, but they cost you about $450 a pop.
$400 man, for what?
Yeah, for a reel-to-reel tape, you know, on like a 8-inch reel.
Yeah, but like, what are you even playing on that? Like, you can't get like Master of Puppets.
Oh yeah, they're starting to record music on reel to reel tape again.
Shut up! I only think
string it through. Then.
You got to wind it all the way up. What? It's like nothing but like Nazi propaganda films and snuff. That's all that's on there.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Finally, the beautiful cherub himself, the soon-to-be, or as a matter of fact, today's the day, Farfel, stopped in studio on Thursday. It's officially his birthday today. And Josh, let's just say, in full transparency, you talked about it on air enough, I think, that not the easiest dog at first compared to, may she rest in peace forever, Pumpernickel. A dog who's calm and very quiet of demeanor, and then you jump right to a terrier, which is, you know, just a rocket with a, you know, a tail on it. But it seems like you guys are really gelling.
Yeah, I'm very attached to him, and he's really perfect. He's a little more energetic at home. I think he's a little more reserved in the studio with you guys. But he for the most part, he's well behaved, and you know, he's a puppy. He just wants to play a lot. So it's a wonderful experience. The childbirth was a little painful.
Still recovering from those stretch marks.
Still have those stitches.
It's adorable watching a puppy gnaw through its own umbilical cord as it emerged from Josh.
Yeah, totally not what I expected. I was expecting to be completely overrun by just this dog bouncing off the freaking walls. And there were times throughout the morning I forgot he was even here.
I was going to make a suggestion earlier that day, and I didn't need to. I'm glad I didn't, that if it got out of hand, we just record the 8 o'clock news, and then if you had to bounce because the dog is literally crawling up in the ductwork and it's latched onto Vanko's face, I wouldn't stop him.
Yeah, I remember right in the beginning of the show, the 5 o'clock hour, like off the air, you were already, like, I could sense it in you. You were, you like had... you uttered at one point, I think, that we could tie him off somewhere. Like, you were making all these, like, contingency plans. And I'm just like, well, you were definitely anticipating the worst. Like, well, maybe we could just, we could tie him off somewhere.
We could put him in a closet or something like that. What if we, like, I don't know, put him in the printer? Like, he'll be okay, you know? But the dog was beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much.
We loved him to death, and just you never get a second chance to make a first impression, and he doesn't need a second chance because he charmed the boxer shorts off of us that day. We got to meet Farfel on Behind the Curtain.
It's your birthday.
Sweet Farfel.
First meeting. Oh. First time any of us have ever met Farfel. It's your birthday. Spiegel's new dog.
God loves a terrier.
We went ahead and got a new companion. Little 11. Well, no, his birthday is
Saturday.
So Saturday, basically 1 year old. Farfel. Terrier mix. Pound puppy. Rescue. I love him. I don't know what the problem is. He's great.
Yeah, he's calm.
He's great.
Down.
Yeah.
Sweet little dog. God, Josh, take us back. Take us back.
So cute.
To the day that you first saw Farfel, and why you said, amongst all the other rescue dogs, because that's what he did. He rescued a dog, or did the dog rescue him?
Heads up, I'm probably going to buy a dog in the next 6 months. Yeah. F all of you that want to say anything.
Scott's having one genetically engineered that's
it's
half
in a
rabbit.
Lab right now being created.
Yeah, it's inside of a beaker. What was it about this little angel?
He was just adorable, and I held him, and there seemed to be a connection immediately.
Anything to do with the fact that dog seems to be really into showing you its penis? That dog and the lightest little touch. I hit its haunches. That's
really?
Where you
I
should go.
I haven't seen his penis.
Woo!
It's very small.
The dog loves to roll over on its back and say, "Hey, what do you think of that?"
He'll present himself to anyone who has an opportunity to see it.
That's probably why I feel such a kinship with this dog. It's just such a small, adorable penis.
Yeah, so he's just a puppy right now, and he's really good with people. He's good with other dogs, and has a lot of energy. But he's learning. He's becoming more obedient.
Kind eyes and a large anus. Surprise too. I don't know. Yeah. You always look for a big back end and soft emerald glances. Doesn't shed a hair. Thank God. As a cat owner who is living with a couple of cats who are currently in the twilight of their lives, hence them just peeing everywhere. Don't stop by my house anytime soon. It's a toxic waste site. They're shedding on everything. I have two couches that I'm going to have to throw away. No way I could resell them. And this little guy who's got that light, wispy hair, I was cuddling with him. I was rubbing his ass. I was taking a look at his junk. And not a hair to be found when I was done.
It's one of the blessings of having a terrier.
Also, another compliment, fresh breath. There's no stink coming out of that dog's mouth.
Yeah, I wonder if that changed in the last few minutes because he just ate a beef trachea, or most of a beef trachea.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Mike, have you seen one of these?
Mike, check this out. Look at that. Oh! Mike, give that a good
Spiegel
sniff.
Sent me a picture of
give
it.
Give it a sniff.
Night.
Up there.
I walked into the studio. The whole studio is reeks.
It does?
Really? Oh, yeah. As somebody who was outside of the studio for the past 30 minutes and walking into
it. Because he's been Farfel destroyed. I think there's a little smidgen of it left. But, I mean, that thing is what? Almost a foot long?
Yeah.
Foot long beef trachea. It's the trachea out of a cow.
Yeah, he's an aggressive chewer.
And it's dehydrated, and he just housed one of those in the last like half hour or so.
I do have a bully stick, which is a bull penis, but I think I should wait a little bit.
Yeah,
let that adjust.
He's got
to puke in here.
May I have one of the bull penises?
What's that?
Let me see one of the bull penises.
Oh, yeah. If you want, you could eat one if you want.
Mike, maybe
just chew on it all morning.
Mike, looking at that trachea, it's got that big opening. How bad you want to f*** that thing? It's got that big opening on the end of it. All right, let's try. This is Prairie Dog. Oh, hell yeah. Look at this, Josh. Spare no expense for your beautiful Farfel. Much more than your average dog treat, natural bully sticks are made from free-range, grass-fed Brazilian cattle.
Bully sticks are really expensive. Even, you know, they sell them in packages and they sell single ones. I don't know why they're so expensive. I guess there's...
a shortage of bull penises or something?
Yeah, because you're cutting off the penis. Yeah. That's how you make more bulls. There's a whole industry where they're chopping the fins off a shark, so they're running out. Thank you, Japanese friends. And you're slicing the penis bowl off. Let me, I'll give it a nibble.
A lot harder than I thought.
I thought that was good.
What did it take for that?
Tastes like a bull penis.
Paul Mittermeier just came. Did you say hello to my dog, Paul?
Mike, here. Have some. Oh, wow. Look, Farfel yeah, wants some. Mike, here. Take a nibble on the bull penis. The bully stick.
You say hello to my dog, Paul.
Oh, God. Go ahead.
Shove
it in your mouth.
It's like this smells awful to me. And a dog's sense of smell is what, like 600 times ours?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't imagine what it smells like to them.
Because they love it. Look how excited he is.
Are you ready?
No, he can't have it. He can't have it.
You have to have it, Mike.
No, he just had a whole trachea.
Suck it.
It smells worse than it tastes.
Oh, come on. Give it a good chew. I put it in my mouth and gnawed on it.
You're teasing the dog with it because now he thinks he's... Look at him sitting. Oh, he's so cute, Speaks.
Yeah, stop teasing him.
Look how good he is.
Oh, you're Farfel. Like my stepson trying a new...
Well, yeah, because it's a bull penis.
Yeah, I mean, it's not meant for humans.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
Oh.
I'm giving it to Farfel.
No, he's not allowed to
have it. Yet.
Do you not understand that he just ate a trachea?
I've been teasing
what if I was trying to overfeed your dog?
Yeah, what if he was teasing you with a bottle of Jameson?
All right. Can't have this
put it away then. Put it like off to the side. Get it out of his eyesight.
Well, happy birthday, Farfel.
Farfel. Mike's a terrible dog owner.
Farfel, come here.
Farfel, come on. Not now, buddy. Later. You want a stomach to burst, Mike? You want me to get sick?
I don't feel good.
Farfel, come here. He's fine.
Attack
Mike's ball. Not moving the bull penis from off to the side of
we
the
we thought
table.
You taught the dog to come.
All right, I'm coming around. No, he's fine.
All right. No, the dog will come when you tell it to come.
I don't want Farfel to cause any problem.
God, this... Oh, man. The studio smells so bad.
Did it smell when you walked in here, Paul?
No. So much like dog. It's unbelievable.
No.
I can't smell
nose blinds. Well, we were in here the whole time. That's why.
Oh, yeah. This will tie in nicely with our next 7 o'clock segment.
My nose blinds too. Nice.
Oh, God. Maybe it's your lip.
Dude, it's the trachea that smells over there.
It's
here, get the wrapper. Put the trachea back in the wrapper.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Put a condom on that thing.
It's time to go behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So you think we got a another whack packer, as it were, on our hands with Yam Zed, our French songbird? Is this a guy we're going to go to, or is he going to go the way of the Boris, the way of the Johnny America, the way of the Kung Fu Gary?
Well, I mean, considering he's all the way over in France,
yeah.
I think it's kind of a one and done here.
There's a hole in the wall where the men can see it all.
Yeah, it was a little. I was afraid of this. It was a little tough to understand on the air. He said his English was great, but
he lied to you.
I guess you think it's great when you're in France talking to other French people who know English, but you know when you're on the phone with some real Americans.
Yeah, he sounds like Clint Eastwood over there.
It's almost like we suffered from the same thing we suffer from, like talking to my grandfather. It's like you try to ask these bigger, more elaborate or questions, you know what I mean? Like, because we're used to just being able to ask a question, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's
not to mention
he probably didn't understand half of what the hell we were saying.
Yeah, and he was probably super nervous because he's probably thinking, oh, this is my big break, you know, this is it. I'm gonna be famous after today. They're gonna play my music now on 98 Rock in
America.
And
we did get one text. Did you see the text like taking a run at us
about messing with him?
Yeah, because we were like making fun of him.
Yeah,
you guys sound like a bunch of. Whatever, making fun of this guy. It's just like, oh, relax. We're just having fun, man. Come on. Can we have just fun and poke fun at someone? Like, we're not being bullies. We're not like, we're just, the music wasn't that great and we were just having fun at somebody's expense just for a little bit.
Not that great was 5 steps ago. This was straight ass. And he
sent his stuff to us, okay? Yes. We didn't like seek him out and bully him.
This wasn't like when we definitely bullied 3 Beats Slide. He seeked us out, which by the way, speaking of terrible songs, we should probably get a 3 Beats Slide update.
God, I forgot all about them.
It's been a long time. The weird father who I know has got a secret in his heart and his shed and makes his family sings these songs he writes. Look up 3 Beats Slide. We've interviewed them before.
What was their big hit?
Oh, what was it? It was something at the beach.
China Chinerson.
That's the one. China Chinerson.
The island?
3 Beats Slide. Yeah, 3 Beats Slide. It was them playing at the beach.
I'm on there.
The hell was it?
It might have been the island.
Was it the island?
Let me see. Sort by
Summertime.
Summertime. That's by Three Beat Slide.
Summertime.
I don't know, Mike. Their most popular one is Skip Skip Slide. That has 281,000 views.
Because I remember old boss sent me, he was the first person to send me the video. And I remember it was like in the middle of summer.
I don't even see that on their YouTube page.
There's the newest track of theirs, Three Beat Slide, is entitled The Greatest Treasure. And it is in honor of the 25th anniversary of the husband and the wife of the band. And it's that. Oh, no, Mike, look at the video. Oh, it's them making out in the woods.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, there she is. Oh, this needs to get... Mike, Three Beat Slide on the show again, please. Oh, he's got a history. He's got a history. Well, who knows if we'll ever hear from him again, but we heard from him yesterday. Yam Zed, all the way from France. He's a proud American Frenchman. It'll make sense in a second. On Behind the Curtain. Yeah. So, from time to time, we'll hear some new music. You were playing some of that Greta Van Fleet earlier. We got some new tunes from them. And occasionally we'll get some songs from a local band, you know, trying to make big. And, you know, we'd like to give them a listen, see if we can do anything
for
them.
Yeah, I'm telling you, ever since we created that new email, studio@98online.com, which anybody can email. It's on our app. It's on our website.
A lot of love.
You want everybody in this building to see your email, send it there because it goes to just about everybody. So I see them every day. And I'm telling you, we get a new email every day from some, you know, wackadoo in Sweden that's got a rock band that wants their music played, and they'll send over just what we got the other day from Yam Zed. It'll send over a bunch of tracks and a little email asking us to play their music.
Yeah, this is Yam Zed. This is a Frenchman. We received an email from them. Let me pull this up here. I believe I have it. Hello, it's nice to meet you. Oh, do you have this? Do you have the music? Oh, you got it right there in front of you. Oh, wow. I'm looking at here. Hello. Nice to meet you. My name is Yam. I came out of Josh's butt. Hi, I am French. 28 and would like you to listen to my music. I hope you enjoy it. It would be an honor for me to be broadcasted on your radio. Thank you so much. Loving you.
Oh. Loving you?
Loving you. Yam from France. Yam? Yes, France Yam. So we have a few tracks to play. We have Love, I Want to Sing a Song, Brazil, Beach Girl, and Proud to Be an American from Yam the Frenchman.
I'd start with Proud to Be an American.
Dealer's Choice?
Yeah, one of his better tracks, I think.
And listen to the range on this fella. We might have a star in our hands.
I'm a soldier, proud being American. I said I'm a soldier, proud being American. I say it's only you.
Mike, blow out all the Aerosmith, replace it with Yam. French as hell, man. And he loves America. God bless you, sir. Wow.
Love is another great track.
Is Love another great track? Yeah. You've only heard one of these. Scott, Josh, correct? I only heard the one you guys heard?
I think so.
I went through this morning and listened to a bunch of them.
Go into a daze in our meetings.
You just white noise at some point. It's like a television when it's not hooked up. Here is Love.
You were in front of me, hooray, thinking about you.
This isn't a put-on. This sounds like someone doing a French accent. No, there's no BS meters going off?
I mean, the phone, we're calling him, and the phone number is a French phone number.
It sounds legit to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there's videos on his YouTube channel of him just speaking in French, and it sounds pretty legit.
Game on.
Girl, I want you so much. I need you so. I want you so. Only you can so. Around me to make me feel this light. To come with you make me feel so right. Like a loading star.
He's built like the kid from Stranger Things so with the bad right teeth.
Only you.
What we have to ask, Mike, are you sure there's nothing wrong with this guy? Because I'm going to feel like a bastard.
I can't say one way or the other on that.
Because I'm watching a video. That man, I love him. Oh, harmony. Let's do one more before we go. We're gonna pick this up after sports. This is I Want to Sing a Song, and I hope you do.
I sit on you.
You sit on me? What the hell?
I feel on you.
You feel on me? Murder?
I sit on you. I want to sing a song. 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 I want to sing a song.
It almost sounds like the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
It's the Violent Femmes.
It is new Violent Femmes.
I want to sing a song. I want to sing a song. I want to sing a song.
I want to sing a song.
I want to sing tonight. I'll sing tonight. I want to be alright.
Yeah, we got a guy all the way over in France who sent us an email.
Is that where the naked ladies dance?
And his name is Yam Zed. Says, hello, nice to meet you. My name is Yam. I'm French. I'm 28. And I would like you listen to my music. If you enjoy it, it would be an honor for me to be broadcasted on your radio. And we said, done.
Deal.
Done, Yam.
Done, Yam.
We will broadcast your music to the masses.
Not even the type of yams that you have to put in a bag and throw away in Josh's trash can after a labored movement.
Let's listen to a couple more. What do we have left? Do we have rock and roll?
Yes.
I can pull up rock and roll. I've got Brazil and I've got Beach Girl. Let's go with Brazil first. It's like Michael Bublé.
You get someone sing around, I will sing around you. I'm a singer, I'm a singer, I'm a singer, I'm a singer. Everybody sing tonight on the sea.
What am I getting here? What am I getting?
I love it.
I'm getting,
sounds like Rancid.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
It's like Tim Armstrong. Speed it up a little.
All right, that's Brazil, and I do have the aforementioned rock and roll queued up. Let me get this again. This is from Yam.
Are we not reaching out to Yam? Can't get it.
No, I did get him. I was going to wait to call him, though. I'm not sure after speaking with him for a minute or so.
Oh, no, Mike.
Oh, dear.
Have we been making fun of a mentally challenged
No, person? He's fine. Accent is heavy.
Good. Hell yeah.
Patch him through.
I'm going to call right now. It is the greatest language in the world.
I mean, yeah. I mean, his phone number is 857-545-68, Dynavine 457-230-0148-947-68245-567-50-83. So give him a call yourself.
Yeah, them international numbers are insane. Rock and roll, baby.
Whoa!
Yeah, you're stealing.
Rock and roll, Memphis and Rock City.
Let's go.
Rock and roll, Memphis and Rock City. Let's go.
It's Yale.
Rock and roll, Memphis and Rock City. Let's go.
us on the program. Men fear him. Women want to be near him.
All the way from France.
He's the French sensation sweep of the nation. Yam Zed, my man. What's up, Yam?
I'm fine, my friend. Yes, all right.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, woo! We're getting down to some rock and roll. Hey, we already played Proud to Be American, which we are. Happy Veterans Day to everyone. Love, I want to sing a song. And we're getting down right yes. now to rock and roll, buddy. And listen.
You're going to be famous in America. We're making you famous.
We're going to blow you up.
Yam is going to be famous in America.
You're going to be so rich. You're going to be yes. swimming in it.
So what's up? What's going on in France?
I'm fine. Everything is all right. And I make music, of course.
Hell yeah. Where do you get the inspiration for your song, such as the very first one that we played that really jumped out at us, which was Proud to Be an American?
Proud to be American is because I love the U.S. I have always loved the U.S. I always felt I was American, even if I'm French, and I wanted to write a song to prove my love for America.
Here, yes. here, brother. Here, 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 huh? Los Estados Unidos, greatest country in the world.
Hey, Yam, let me ask you a question.
Bailed your asses out.
Have you been to America?
Yes, I was in America 3 days in New York in 2009. And it was amazing.
New York City, what'd you do? You do anything good? Did you get any pizza?
I was in early days with my father, of course.
With my father.
What's your father's name, Yam? Is it Sweet Potato?
My father, Azed. Azed.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Ed.
My father's name is Azed.
Now, here's the portion of Proud to Be an American, and I think the listeners of Friends and Fan Stations will agree. You know, you got to wait for the hook. You got to wait for that part of the song that really makes you say, hey, we're on to something special here, and I think this is that part from I'm Proud to Be an American.
Yes.
Right here. Listen to this.
How do you hold a note like that, dude?
Yes.
That's what we were saying, man.
Can you repeat?
We're just saying, how do you hold a note that long? You really were able to hold that tone.
Yes, but it's because I love music, and I make this song because I love the U.S. That's why I compose this song.
Okay. Hey, Yam, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you about French women.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell me about the French women?
Ah, yes, French women.
Oh, yes.
French women, they are sexy, they are nice. Yes. And
I hear they're wicked hairy.
They like to have sex. They like to have a lot of sex, right, French women?
Yes, of course. All right. And the food in France is amazing. You're going to love the food.
I don't care about the food. I want to hear about the women.
I want to hear about your breadstick, Yam.
They like to smoke cigarettes. Do they smoke cigarettes during sex?
Yes. All right. I believe.
Yeah,
I believe, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about the dudes. So what about the dudes? Do the dudes like to have sex over there?
The dudes, they are cool. They are cool and they are open.
Yeah, they're open.
Yeah, oh, they yeah. are, baby. Oh, yeah. The old bathhouses. Right, hell yeah. Well, Yam, you have one hell of a career ahead of you. One more time for those that might have missed it. Let's hit some more of this Proud to Be an American.
You, I came to the song of free sorrow. You, I'm a man, a song in you. I can hear a song of free sorrow.
No idea what the he's saying.
The song of free sorrow.
There he goes, Yam. Yam Zed, check him out.
Yam Zed, my man. Thank you for joining us today, buddy.
All right, and go on my Facebook page, subscribe on my Facebook page, Yam Rock, and go on YouTube and listen to Yam Rock and subscribe on my Facebook page.